Do the mindset work that you need to do to help you get this book out into the world. I know when you're writing something, or when we're writing something that's spiritual, that's very personal, it can be very vulnerable. I just want to reiterate, you don't have to push through the fear. You can get help to make it happen.
And then call in spirit
And
and
that's actually another really good point, because the trees have also helped me with my marketing. I've had emails from people where they've been tree communicators, and trees have told them to buy my book around the world. So spirit will
oh,
help you once the
that's
book is out.
hello and welcome to episode 13 of the podcast. It's not woo, it's real. I'm your host, Cara Wild, and this podcast is where we explore all areas of life via the lens of spirituality that's both primal and mystic. And what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? How do we partner with the non-physical for our own lives and to create the new cultures that our world seems to desperately need? And today, this episode, I'm talking with Holly Wharton, who is a longtime friend and also business colleague. Holly is an author, a podcaster, and a publishing strategist. She writes non-fiction books about her adventures that mainly inspire people to get outdoors and reconnect with nature so they can reconnect with themselves. And we're kind of all about that on this podcast too, right? So we share a passion for running, being out in wild nature, sacred spaces, and Holly is the person that I went to, one of the times I went to Avebury, and she was there when light language first came through to me. So yeah, pretty special. So today we talk about all things to do with writing and publishing a book, specifically when that book is on a topic that might be considered woo or edgy, some kind of like spiritual angle to it. A bit like my channeling book that I'm working with Holly on getting that published, and also Holly's channeled book, If Trees Could Talk, which I highly recommend. There's links in the show notes. And we talk about the unique fears that can come up around a book of this type, how to handle them, how to work with them, how to reassure them, and you're really going to want to listen now for how Holly handled all of the fears and vulnerabilities that come out with her book, If Trees Could Talk, which was basically her channeling wisdom and information from different trees, from different areas, and how she dealt with all the vulnerability that came up in order for her to appear live on a really mainstream, for the want of a better word, UK TV show. So there's lots in this podcast. There's lots of times when we talk about how when we work on a book or a creative project that is almost giving the unseen a voice, how the unseen can work with us to help getting that creativity out there and published. So hope you enjoy the show, and I'll see you on the other side. Today's guest is Holly Wharton. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You've been on this podcast before, but under a different name, I think. When it was, yeah. So just as I said in the introduction, just briefly, Holly is a prolific author. What is it, 27?
What? No, I think it's over 30 now.
My hero. And you also have a company that helps other authors get published, publish their own books and create their own publishing house, which I want to talk to you about because I'm intrigued. You're also an athlete.
Yes.
And like when I think about you, I just think you're the goals gal. Like, I don't want that to sound patronizing, but just like you just goals, go get them and go after them. But you do that. The reason I wanted you on the podcast is because you do that all through the lens of spirituality or the woo, as we're kind of calling it on the podcast. And that's what I'm interested in, obviously, is that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just get started about one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk to you today was particularly about writing and publishing, the process of that, of doing a book that has got a spiritual slant to it. So do you just, I mean, you've written lots of different books, so do you just want to say like the range of books that you write so listeners can
So my first books were about business mindset because I was a previous incarnation of my business was working as a business mindset coach. So I wrote a series of four books about business mindset. I've also written four books about my walking adventures, walking various long distance trails in England. I've written some personal development books, some of which were based on podcast episodes that I expanded into a short book. Yeah, I've got all kinds of things.
Yeah, so it's like a practical, behavioral, the mental and the mindset stuff. And then the one that I want us to experience, talk about today is the If Trees Could Talk book, which is slightly different. So do you want to just kind of give us a brief idea of what that book's about?
So back in 2018, I was on this forest bathing meetup group, and we were asked to connect with a yew tree. We're in this place called Newlands Corner in Surrey that has a nice grove of yew trees. So I walk up to this tree and I start, hugging it and talking to it. And it gave me the idea for the book. And it basically said, trees have stories. People need to hear our stories. And this is a book that you could write. And it just felt so right. Like in my whole body, it was like, this is it. And I remember going home and telling my husband about the story and the idea and just being really excited about it. And I just spent the next year working on collecting stories from trees for that book.
So when you said that about the message that you got from the trees, I just had this warm feeling inside me and felt like really held and embraced. So did that experience of the idea and the inspiration landing for the book feel different from any of your other books that you've written?
Absolutely. I mean, I've got so many ideas for books. Like, I have a file where I just keep ideas for books because I have more ideas than I have time to write books. Like, even if I were writing full time and not working with other authors, I wouldn't have enough time to write all the books I want. So I have so many ideas, but this idea, even though it was given to me and it didn't really come from within, it felt so right. Like, I just knew I had to drop everything and start working on it. Because it just felt right in my bones. Like,
Yeah. Okay. So because I know that the listeners have probably like us and they've got 101 ideas of books that they might want to write. But specifically, with this non-physical spirituality background, it like informing it, I'm really intrigued by that description of it felt like the idea was given to you. And was that different from inspiration from your other books then, that external, right?
Absolutely. And normally I would think, oh, well, something that comes from within would be more important or be stronger or be higher priority. But that wasn't the case here. I really had never thought of this book before the tree said, you should write this book. And yeah, it just felt right. So I knew I
Do
had
you
to do
know
it.
what's occurring to me listening to you is it's a relational experience. It's a relation book. Whereas the other ones that you're talking about are between you and you and maybe what you just want to express. But this was like, I hate this term now because so many terms in our spirituality field are so overdone, but co-creative experience.
Absolutely.
So like so for me, you channel, well, I know you say that, you channeled the book, but it's like you gave voice to something that wasn't able to have a voice in the human way.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. So, okay, so it took you about a year. What did you do, go around traveling and talking to different trees?
So basically what happened was I was into walking and nature at the time, as I still am. But as I would go on a walk, sometimes trees would reach out to me and be like, I'm in your book, or I could be in your book. And so oftentimes I wouldn't just stop everything and listen. I would come back when I knew I had, more time to devote to it. So I kind of collected in my mind a list of trees that wanted to participate. And then I would go back little by little throughout the year and collect their stories. And what I did was I just verbally channeled them, recorded it on my phone, and then got transcripts done.
Right. Okay. So I love the idea that as you're walking past a tree, it's like auditioning for the part. Not, it's not auditioning for the part, that's not fair. But it's just like you connected with the different streams that wanted to be in the overall intention for the book. So is it that you were given initially the overall intention, if I'm hearing you right, was we have stories to tell, and that was the intention. Okay. And the other thing that I'm thinking about, so the only thing that I can relate to this to is, you know, I have stone circles that say that they want messages and I hear them. And the first time I heard a stone circle talk to me, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. I was a little bit resistant to it, and now I'm not. But there is just this real knowing that it's like, that's what we're always, I don't know if we're at the right word, is chasing and channeling, but that's... That's the feeling that we're always kind of searching for whenever we're communicating with the non-physical, isn't it? It's just like it lands as a knowing. And it's got a very particular feel to me. I don't know if it has to you. I think that's what I just heard you say.
It does. And I think, I mean, I occasionally do workshops to help people learn how to communicate with trees. And the question everyone always comes up with is the same question any channel comes up with, is how do you know it's real? How do I know it's not just me? And the trees had a, they have a very different way of communicating. The way they speak to me doesn't sound like the way I speak or the way I write. They're very repetitive. It's like they keep repeating things to drive home the point, just to make things clear. And yeah, it's just the way they speak doesn't sound like me.
So I'm curious then, because some people have talked to me about channeling being a different experience to them. They're a lot more visual than me, or they have different ways, but there's always seems to be this knowing that comes. But I'm curious whether that's what you find with your, you know, the people that you teach how to channel trees, whether you've seen a pattern.
Well, as I always say, this is such a journey in self-trust. I mean, when I first started channeling, I was very doubtful. The more I did it, the more I trusted the process, the more I trusted myself, the more I was able to just accept the fact that, yes, this is it, and not question myself all the time. And I could feel that as I was going through the year and collecting more and more tree stories. I think there's 28 in total in the book. The more I went through the year, the more I just knew that this is it.
Okay. So the how, if at all, did the process of doing this book differ from your others?
It was completely different because I'm a very logical, structural kind of person. So when I write a book and I write nonfiction, I have an idea, I map out the chapters, I start out with an outline, I have a structure. And the structure, once I start writing, might change. I might add chapters, two chapters might be small, so I combine them into one. Things might move things around, but I have a structure. This book, I had no structure. I was literally just collecting stories from trees. Every tree that approached me to be in the book that I collected a story from, I put in the book. I didn't know how many there were going to be. There was no structure. It was just, tell me what you want to tell me. And there just got to be a point where I felt like this is done. And I closed off the project and started working on editing the work. Yeah, it was completely unlike every other book I've written because there was no structure.
So how was that process for you then, in terms of like, did it bring up any more fears and doubts, or was it really more reassuring? Did you felt held through it? Or
I think because it wasn't really my project, it was the trees project, and I was just facilitating it. It felt perfectly fine because it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. It was just me facilitating the process for them to tell their stories.
Right. So you were an ambassador in some respects.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it more than the others, or is it just different?
That's a really good question. It was such a different process. I definitely enjoyed it a lot. It felt big. It felt really different from any of my books. I remember at some point I was working on the project, and I remember thinking, this is a before and after in my writing career. Like, all the stuff I've written before was fine. I'm happy with it. But I knew that book would be different. And it was different. It's my best-selling book. I mean, it's 80% of my royalties come from If Trees Could Talk.
Wow.
And, you know, it got loads of media coverage. It got loads of interest. People are still reaching out to me to say, oh, I read your book. Can you be on my summit podcast, whatever? I have questions. How can I learn from you? It really touched people in a big way. Because I think everyone has their own favorite tree. Everyone has some kind of relationship with trees. It really, really touched people in a very different
All right,
way.
there's a few chemic points I want to like come back to there, but the first one is I have this growing curiosity about what happens when we do something on behalf of the not just spirit, but when we do things on behalf of the good for all, you know, compared to there's nothing wrong with just writing a book because you just want to write a book, you know, or you've got something to say that is interesting to you and you're not that concerned about whether it's gonna change the world or, you know, or that or help people in some way. It can be fun. But so I can only relate this to, I've noticed recently when I'm setting intentions around casting stone circles or circles and asking for information, that if I set my intention to ask a question that would help everybody, I'm supported even more. It's not like a reward, but it just seems to be like a natural consequence of asking those wider, broader questions from that big heart space. And then I just get taken along for the ride and I've got all the benefits of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I've always written all my books with the intention of helping people. So with my business mindset books, it was to help people with business. It was my walking books. It was to encourage people to get outdoors and do have their own adventures. But this just felt like a different level of helping people and trees and the world.
I think it's for me, I think one of the things that is kind of really beneficial for human beings and the planet and everything in general is putting our relationship in right relationship with the earth again and right relationship with source or life or whatever it might just be earth, but that being in right relationship with the earth as, you know, brother, sister, and we're as important to the earth and nature as, and they're sacred, we're sacred, we're in it together. That's a really solid foundation that we're needing for where I think we need to, you know, to help find the solutions to all sorts of things. So
Yeah,
I
I
just
really
wonder if it's that around that.
Yeah, I think I really felt like I was, even though I've always wanted to help people with my books, this really felt like I was being in a service to the planet, to the earth, to nature. And that just, it just felt like it was a much bigger project than anything I'd ever done.
Yeah, because you the after it was published, which I want to talk about, I've got some questions around that later. It just took off. I remember watching, well, it did. I know you did some inner work around it. You did like some beliefs work around it, which you know, you mentioned in your business mindset books. It's about, you know, the energy work around changing beliefs, which I have. It's just there, by the way. And but you were on Good What Good
This
Morning,
morning, yeah,
Good
this morning.
Morning. You were so tell us about that process of what happened when it when you got published, when you published it.
So because I knew this was going to be a before and after in my career, I hired a PR book PR person to help me with publicity. And I had not done that before for any of my books. And she managed to get me on This Morning, and she managed to get me an interview in a newspaper. But then it all snowballed from there because once you're on national television, other places pick it up. I got tons of invites from BBC Radio, Somerset, Scotland, here, there, like everywhere to just keep appearing and keep talking about it. I mean, I was on this live talk radio in Ireland,
I
like
remember
just
that.
tons, and that was a great experience. Just tons of amazing media opportunities came just from that one. So it really snowballed.
So I think this is a really useful thing for people who are listening to kind of realize because there's still some fear and hesitancy about coming out with, you know, this kind of thing into mainstream media. And you don't have to, you know, it's a choice, it's mainstream media. But I remember you saying just how you think you're going to get criticized or ridiculed, and that might happen a little bit with some of the people that are listening, but that wasn't your experience of Of the oh, okay. I
It
thought because
was.
I thought I remember your feet, they were really respectful.
They were very respectful, yes,
Because you
but
actually talk to a tree
yeah,
live.
yes, I
Yeah.
did. That, so I felt very vulnerable coming out with this book anyway. Like the whole, I actually at one point wanted to frame it as a novel and have it be fiction because I didn't feel safe coming out saying I talked to trees, but I did. And then going on to television was another massive step. I remember going on the train into London and doing Site K the entire way in and then back on the train home, and it felt massively vulnerable. And I remember sitting outside near the tree with Eamon and Rochelle, and she turned to me and she said, "Oh, I hope you don't think we're going to make fun of you, do you?" And that had never occurred to me. Like, I was so naive, I hadn't even thought of that. And I went, "Oh, no, not at all." And of course they didn't. They were very respectful and lovely, but I later realized it is that kind of sensationalist television that, is controversial. And on their social media after the show went live, there were lots of positive comments, but there were also negative comments. I mean, I got people pr messaging my private Facebook account saying you're crazy. And then the episode got picked up by Gogglebox, which is that show where people make fun of people. Like, people watch, it's a show of people watching TV where they make fun of the television they're watching.
Oh
So
my
they,
God, what is
yeah.
the
I don't know. But yeah, so that was literally people making fun of me on television.
Ah.
So it actually, I feel like it was a really good experience in terms of growing a thicker skin. It led to other appearances. I felt like I was serving the trees in it because it was getting them publicity. I'm glad I didn't. I have no regrets. I would continue to do it. I have a client who recently we published a book, and it was a similar kind of channeled book. And she said she'd hired a PR person to help her, and she said she absolutely is not interested in doing sensationalist media. And I just kind of kept my mouth shut on that because I feel like I get why you wouldn't want to do that, but I also feel like sensationalist media is what gets your message out to the masses. And even if they're not open to it now, you're planting the seed of possibility. You're planting the seed of maybe people can talk to trees, maybe people can do this, maybe this is the thing. And I feel like it's just helping to open up people's minds to other possibilities. So it's very vulnerable. I was terrified. It was a big stretch out of my comfort zone, and I'm glad I did it.
That idea about planting seeds in other people, even though they're mocking you, is
Yeah.
very generous. Like, that's a really, no, it is. No.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of when you are dealing with vulnerability, being generous and thinking generously is like a really great protection, you know,
Yeah.
because it
Yeah.
detaches you, doesn't it,
Yeah.
from
Yeah.
taking it personally. It's more about them, but you don't have to get into a battle with them
Yeah.
either.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a rich journey.
It was. I mean, I remember going back home on the train from London and doing more Site K and saying, like, "Please, universe, give me more of this. Like, I am ready for this. Please give me more opportunities to spread the word about this book." Because it just felt so right. And I felt like I needed more of that to get the trees out there.
Well, thank you for like being vulnerable with it and going for it. And so
Yeah.
anybody listening that feels like they're getting inspiration from source or from something from the non-physical, but they're too hesitant and scared and getting over their
Yeah.
fears. And that's a bit of a roadmap, really, that you've
It
just
is. It is.
there.
And I have to say, I did loads of mindset work. I did loads of Site K. I did loads of belief changes before I was able to kind of go on this whole process. I was supported by my changing my beliefs throughout the whole thing. It wasn't just like I just felt the fear and did it anyway, because I would have just been like, no.
Because some of those, like, obviously we know, well, what we're exploring here is the relationship between the inner and the outer anyway.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
if you hadn't changed those beliefs, then maybe it would have been a bit more of a bumpy journey,
Yeah, it probably would have.
So
Or I
when
might not have done it at all, because I remember when my PR woman sent me the thing about this morning, and I don't watch television, so I didn't know what it was. So I Googled it and I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know." I should just say no, I don't feel okay with this. And then I realized it was fear. And I thought, you know what? I've hired this woman. I've paid her good money to do my PR. I need to just say yes to everything that comes my way, even if it's
Wow.
scary. And so I just, before I could say no, I just said yes. And then went on that journey. So, yeah.
I remember when I found out you were doing it, and I was just like, oh my God. It wouldn't have occurred to me
Yeah.
that would be one of the possibilities. So,
Yeah.
okay. So we've looked at whether, how the fears and doubts are different from
Yeah.
other books that you've
Yeah.
written. Yeah. So was it that publishing those other books seemed a lot easier too, or?
I mean, I think because my books are so personal, I think everything I've published has been a bit of a, especially in the beginning. I mean, I remember my first business mindset book. It was like, even though I'd been working as a Psyche facilitator and doing business coaching, and I still felt like, who am I to say these things? Who am I to publish a book about this? Who am I to share my journey of walking the South Downs way? I'm just a random person. But I just forced myself to do it anyway because I liked those kinds of books. I like reading books about other people walking trails. So why shouldn't I add my story? And having spoken to authors or to readers and getting emails from readers and on occasion meeting readers in person, I've just had such great feedback from them. I've had emails from people who never thought that they could do a long distance trail by themselves. They've been afraid to go hiking alone, but my book let them know that it was possible and they've done it and now it's changed their lives. So, like, putting myself out on a limb there and being vulnerable in my books has helped other people, which was my intention to start with. So it's just very rewarding. It pays off, even if it is scary.
And I think, valuing something that we just kind of take for granted as well, so there's the
Yeah.
challenge of when you considered woo, well, I need to find a different term for that, but anyway. But when you bring in the non-physical or the spiritual element in, the fears and doubts about the ridicule can be there. But also, especially if it's just something that kind of comes naturally
Yeah.
or fairly easily. I don't think this comes easy, but there's an ease to it because you just love it so much. And like you were
Yeah.
saying, it's just rich and it just feels right and empowering. It can be tricky to see the value of it because it's just something that you do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because we're kind of
Yeah.
taught that there's only value in something that's like really hard,
Yeah, that's a really good point because especially with my walks, when I was doing the South Downs Way or the Ridgeway, I was like hiking, 10 to 15 miles a day, staying at B&Bs at night. Like it wasn't like wild where she's out doing the Pacific Crest Trail or backpacking and camping and going through all these challenges. Like I had challenges, but they were like small challenges compared to what, other people have had. And that was another thing that made me think, like, is this valuable? Is this useful? Is my story worth hearing? And now I know that it is because I have inspired people to, walk these trails.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not a short distance, and I know
Yeah.
some people that just can't walk that distance at all.
Yeah.
And at one time, that distance to me would have been, I remember being so impressed with myself the first time I walked 3 miles,
Yeah.
it's just
Yeah.
okay. So it's like I always remember somebody saying to me, one of my mentors, when we were trying to change the belief, I'm not good enough. It's like you're always going to be on a sliding scale anyway. There's always going to
Yeah.
be somebody that can do things
Yeah.
better than you and somebody that you can do things, but like we're all on this like sliding scale. All
Yeah.
right. All right. So let's talk about publishing. So when you, so your, what's your company called again? Sorry.
We recently rebranded to North Downs Publishing.
Okay. So when you work with an author, a writer, and as helping them get their book published, do you do any of the mindset work with them?
Up until now, no, because most of our authors just come to us with the manuscript written, and all we have to do is edit and proofread and get it ready to go. It's something that I offer on our website, but it's not something that any of my clients have taken me up on. But it is absolutely something that I can help with because I've worked through my own author mindset issues throughout the years. So it's definitely something I can help with.
Do you have a book on that? I'm not sure.
No, I don't, and it's
Is it on
something
your
that's on the list.
to-do
It is because I think the way I approach mindset is different from the way other people do because of psyche and the kind
Yeah,
of
it's not
work with
pushing
specific
through.
belief statements. So it is something that I've wanted to do, and it would definitely fit into the series I have on business mindset.
Okay. So we'll use me as a bit of a guinea pig then, because not guinea pig, and I'm not going to ask you to help me change any beliefs on the podcast. But I know you've been talking to me about me for a long time of like, get that in a book, get that in a book, get that in a book. So my hesitation was that I couldn't see the value. What is the point? And a lot of my stories are kind of like, I remember you saying, it's inspirational. I'm like, that's not enough. I need to fix things. I need
No.
to, you know.
You have so many stories that are just like things that don't happen to most people. Things that don't happen to 99% of people. And I hear your stories like this happened to me or that happened to me. And it's like it just inspires me to think that like these things are possible, and it just shows me a different way of living, and it opens my mind to new possibilities. And I would just love a collection of all the weird things that have happened to you over the years, because they're just really, you have such lovely stories, because they're also not like scary stories of like I had this terrifying experience. They're like lovely and inspiring and useful, because they've helped you in your life and they've helped you grow and they've helped you do different things. And I don't know, like I want to read that.
See, you can't see her face, but if you've got any, like, if you are working with the non-physical and at all, her face is just lighting up with delight at the eye. Like, she's got wide eyes, awe and wonder, and like, you just want to, okay, I'll do it, I'll do it. So if you're not sure, hire Holly or come and have a talk with Holly, because I think she'll fill you with confidence. So anyway, so we are going through that process, and I was re-listening to your course. So you have a course on how to, how to write a book. What's it called again? Oh, honestly, me and names.
I've got a book called Business Books, which is how to write, how to create, how to take existing content that you have, like podcast episodes or videos, and turn that into a book. And then I have the online course, which is how to turn your passion into a best-selling book. And it's
That's
a very
it.
similar thing. It's very
Okay.
much about the technical side of publishing, like how do you take your manuscript and what do you do with it?
Yes. So, but one of the things that I think is really, really useful for listeners that because I was getting so inspired listening to it, there is so much that you can turn into ebooks for your business. So, and especially when you think about, quick reads and how popular they're becoming as well. So, do you want to just say just a little bit on what people could do?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are stuck on writing their first book because they feel like they have to write this like magnum opus of just the book that has everything in it that encompasses all their knowledge and is amazing. And you can do that, but you could also write a series of shorter books. And short reads books, as you've just said, are super popular. One of my publishing mentors has a couple of times in her writing career set out the goal to write a book a month, which is a lot, and you kind of need experience to be able to do that. But her books are quite short. You can read them in an hour, hour and a half. They're very targeted on one very specific topic. She has actionable points, things for you to do. It's very easy to read, digest, get the point, do the stuff, do the work, and then move on to the next one. And I think do what's right for you, do what's right for your story, but don't think that you have to fit everything into one gigantic book. You can also split things up into more digestible, easy to read, bite-sized pieces.
So honestly, and that process is so similar to when you're coaching somebody or you're being a therapist to somebody. You've got an hour and you're just like, I need to know that you can. And it's such a relief to think there's no way that they can know everything in my head, even if we work together for 6 months, because I've been doing this for years and I've gained so much knowledge. And so I recognize what you were just saying. One of the things that got me, I'm just like, yeah, but there's this. Oh, yeah, but there's this. Oh, I don't know which is a priority there. And I just want to do it all and everything. I'm not doing any of it. And so, yeah, I don't want to kind of like give everybody your course information on this podcast. But so just like, you can take course transcripts or podcast episode, make them into series, or there's so much that you could do. And obviously, publishing it all in a book and becoming an author is really good in terms of your authority, and it's a
Yes.
really, really good branding experience.
It's a great lead magnet because people,
Yeah.
when they're reading a book, even if it's a short reads book, they get to know you, they get to like you, they get to
Yeah.
trust you because you're showing that you know how to do this thing. You're showing that you know what you're talking about. And also, it's online courses are the big thing these days, and they have been big for years because they can be perceived as a higher value item because you've got video, you've got audio, you've got, worksheets, whatever.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
some people just prefer to read. I
Yeah.
prefer to read a book to learn something than to watch videos. So you're also opening yourself up to a new audience of people who just wants to read. They don't want to watch videos. And you could guide people into one-to-one work through a book.
Yeah. And I think especially if it's something around inspiration or
Yeah.
spiritual growth, it's a really nourishing thing to
Yeah.
do.
Yeah.
We've talked before about books and cups of teas and,
Yeah.
you know, okay. So can you explain somewhat this becoming your own publishing house company
Yeah.
thing? Because I'm like, how does that work? And this is why I am hiring you as well, because I'm like, ah, no, no, no. That would be procrastination forever for me.
Yeah, so this is something I've been doing since 2012. So over a decade now.
Wow.
Yeah, basically you just need to come up with your name for your publishing house. Obviously make sure it's unique. Ideally you would want to trademark it, but you don't have to. Buy a package of ISBN numbers, which is the international book number that distinguishes your book from other book products. And create an account on KDP Publishing, which is Amazon, Draft to Digital. There are various different places that you can publish a book. Audiobooks, you can publish on a couple of different places as well. ACX, Findaway Voices. Yeah, and it's just kind of a matter of creating your publishing name, opening your accounts, and publishing your book and sending it out to all the different platforms.
So what's the benefit of doing it that way then, from your perspective?
Well, if you've got your own ISBN numbers, then it's shows that the book is from your publishing house rather than having been published by Amazon directly, because you can also use their ISBN numbers, but it doesn't look as professional, and I just think it sets you
So
apart
how
as
okay, and so sorry, I didn't ask that very well. How does having your own publishing house, how is that more beneficial than trying to go and get a publisher to, you
Yeah.
know, work with
Okay,
another
good question.
company? Sorry.
Yeah, so I've never been traditionally published because that's not what I want for myself. I want to be able to control the project. I want to be able to have the book cover I want. I want to hire the editors I want. I want to work with the team that I want. But I've been self-employed since 1999. So like I know how to manage a project. I know how to work with people. I know how to hire freelancers, and I know how to do the thing. And so that's what I provide for my clients.
Yeah.
If you're working with a traditional publisher, they assign you an editor who you may or may not get on with. They will design a book cover based on what they think is good for the market. You don't have much of a
Yeah,
say in it.
yeah.
They probably won't do much marketing, especially if you're a first-time author. So don't think you're going to get any marketing out of them. I have many author friends who are traditionally published authors who have made the move into self-publishing because they were so dissatisfied with the process of working with a traditional publisher.
Okay. And I've heard somebody who was with Hay House and they didn't like the front cover, because I remember when it was first published, I'm just like, that's really bad. Like, that gives off a really bad message into the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then they revised it and changed it during lockdown because
Yeah.
people's values were shifting. So, and I think that's really important, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a, you know, recovering control freak. So
Yeah.
I really like value the process of being more in charge of it
Yeah.
creatively. So as a writer, if I'm going down this track, what would I do about my marketing?
Well, there are various different things you can do. So I hired a PR person to help with my book.
Yeah.
It's pricey. It's not cheap, but it is an option. Amazon advertising is an excellent way. It's pay-per-click advertising. So you set the budget, you set how much you want to spend. And that can be really good because it's Amazon obviously wants to sell more books. So I found it to be very useful. Facebook ads do work for some people. I've not had great experience with them in the past. Just your
So it's
traditional
your traditional
online
marketing, just
marketing.
like any other, but any other aspect of your, like your business model, it's the same thing. All right. So I think what I've heard is that where the watch out for how the inspiration might come when it's a more collaborative experience with the non-physical, but that doesn't mean that anything else that's not that is not worthy of being written. So, and then there's always going to be a critic. So the fear of being ridiculed, there is an inner process that you can use to help with that. And then maybe thinking about the bigger picture, like you were saying, it's service, and it might just sow the seeds that we kind of want to be sown. So checking in with your values about, when you're feeling a fear around being criticized or ostracized, which is, the massive basic human fear, then click into, like, tune into the service aspect that you were talking about. And is this just a message I want to get out there anyway? Would I be really happy if this served future generations even,
Absolutely.
and then it's just the process, then actually write the book. But then the process after that is just, just like anything else that you sell is a business, as an entrepreneur. So I don't know if there's anything that I've just said there that you think, oh, and there's one more thing I want to say, or anything else that you want to add.
No, I just think do the mindset work that you need to do to help you get this book out into the world. I know when you're writing something, or when we're writing something that's spiritual, that's very personal, it can be very vulnerable. I just want to reiterate, you don't have to push through the fear. You can get help to make it happen.
And then call in spirit and the unseen, if you want me to do this, not,
Make it easy. Help, help. No, and that's actually another really good point, because the trees have also helped me with my marketing. I've had emails from people where they've been tree communicators and trees have told them to buy my book around the world. So spirit will
Oh,
help you once the
that's
book is out.
brilliant. There is just this stream of spirit for your story completely.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another marketing expert, a top tip when you're working with entrepreneurs.
Spirit.
That's gorgeous. That's lovely. Okay, so right people, right time to kind of turn up too. All right, so what are you working on at the minute? Have you got a book brewing? Have you just, what's
I
brewing?
am. So it's another walking book. A couple years ago, I walked the coast to coast with a couple of friends, and I'm going to do it again this year alone. And so that's
Oof.
going to be a very interesting book, because it's going to
God, you're so
compare.
my hero, because you do wild camping overnight on your own as well, don't you? It's not just
I
living.
haven't yet. I'm going to do my first wild camps on my own. I wild camped, but with friends. So
Oh,
this is
okay.
going to be my first solo wild camp. So it's
So
going to be a good experience to overcome some of my fears.
you must be writing as you walk, and in terms of journaling and making notes and all that.
So when I've written my other books where I've stayed at B&Bs, I will bring my iPad with an external keyboard, and every night after dinner, I will sit and type up that day's notes. And that's a fantastic way of doing it, because usually I come home with about 20,000 words already written, and it's just a matter of editing and expanding and fleshing everything out. This time, I don't want to bring an iPad with me, because it's just one more weight in the and one more electronic device to charge, and I'll be camping. So I'm bringing a I actually have don't have it with me, but I have it over there. I've produced some journals. I have a South Downs Way journal, I have a Coast to Coast journal, I have a Camino de Santiago journal, and I'm bringing my own Coast to Coast journal with me. So it's a journal where it's a paperback book where it has questions every day for you to write down your reflections about the experience. And so I'm going to be using my own system to record my experience.
I love the authenticity of that. I'm just thinking I might buy one of those for recording my stone circle journeys that come up.
Or
That
you
can
could
be
create your
interesting.
own stone circle journey
I could.
journal.
I could.
You could.
You're very good.
Oh my God, you are such a writer. God, look at all that. Okay, so
And I feel like I have to say this before we go
yeah,
on.
of course.
Have a place where you write down your ideas. Like every little idea that comes to you, or every little idea that someone gives to you, have it in like an Evernote or an Apple Note or whatever, or just a document, Google Doc, or have a place where you record all of your book ideas. Even if someone gives you an idea and you think, oh, I don't want to do that, write it down because you never know. You might come back to it and go, oh my God, that's amazing. Years ago, my husband gave me an idea for a book, and I remember thinking, oh, that's a bit corny. But I wrote it down, and that now that's going to be the next title of my next tree book, which is going to be How to Talk to Trees, which I'm also kind of working around in the background.
Know you were doing another one of those.
Yeah, I've been working on it for years, but it just didn't feel right. Like it was like people were asking me to do it, so I was kind of working on it, but it didn't feel right. And then it's starting to feel right now that I'm doing more of the workshops on talking to trees. So now it's kind of it's got a different focus. But it's going to be
Yeah.
another channeled book where I ask the trees, like, what are your tips?
I'm very excited about that. Okay, so write everything down because like ideas and inspiration come around for a reason, even though we don't know what they are, but then sometimes in the future we can kind of see a pattern even maybe.
Or they might lead to something else.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So don't do what I do and have 20 different journals all over the house. It's like podcast ideas, really. It's a similar sort of thing. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. So people can, I think the best place for people to go to is your website. Is that right? Or, okay.
Definitely. Hollywharton.com is my main website. It's got everything on there. And then NorthDownsPublishing.com is my specific publishing website.
Okay. And they'll be in the show notes, obviously. And your podcast, are you doing?
Yeah, so podcast, I've pressed pause on podcast last year, so I don't have
Yeah.
any new episodes, but I do have 500 old episodes that are very nature-based and book-based, and I talk about all
Yeah,
kinds of stuff, talk
so
about
good.
mindset. So you've got 500 episodes that you can find on my website,
Yeah,
and it's
guys,
called
are
Empty
you getting the
Woods.
idea that this woman is quite prolific in whatever she does? I remember I'd been on an interview on your podcast. We were talking about, oh, I don't know, channeling or something. And so we live miles apart, don't we? And I think we've only ever met, is it once
Once,
we met?
once.
God, I can't believe that. Miles apart. And then that evening when it was published, I had a neighbor phone me on Facebook saying, I've been following Holly's podcast for a long time. Who are you and all this stuff you do? And I was like, oh my God, you just never know who's listening. All right. Okay. Oh, well, thank you so much. And I
Thank
can't
you.
wait to hear what happens with this other tree book and to read that. All right. Okay. Well, speak to you soon. Bye bye.
Thank you.